Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us again today. Hey, Tara, remember the story that went global of the Chilean miners?
I do.
Yep. And they were trapped underground for 69 days.
Can you even imagine that? Yeah, I cannot.
I know. And so miraculously, though, all 33, as we sat and watched their family wait, were rescued. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they talked about, I remember one who was interviewed, and there's a movie out about him, but they were talking about the reason. What helped them sustain, what helped them keep hope was knowing that someone was outside working on their behalf, that a rescue was coming, right? And so we see throughout the Psalms and passages from the New Testament, like in 2 Timothy and 2 Peter, we see God as the Lord who rescues
That's
us.
That's right.
And we've got a big number today.
We do.
27,000.
27,000. That number represents the number of kids that age out of the foster care system every year, between 21 and 27,000. And every single year in Georgia right now, it's about 700-ish that that age out of the foster care system. So at 17 years old and 364 days, they're still in the system being cared for. And at age 18,
they're done.
So what happens? Well, a lot of times things that aren't good happen. And that's why we have our guest Pam Parrish here today. So we're really excited to have her with us today because she was personally made aware of this issue and chose to do something about it. Pam is the founder and president of Connections Homes, which is an Atlanta-based organization that works with young adults who've aged out of foster care, are homeless, or otherwise without a family. So Pam, welcome today to the studio.
Tara and Lynette, it's my pleasure to be with you guys today and talk about, obviously, one of my favorite subjects to talk about is these kids who are aging out of foster care. I love the story of the Chilean miners and the fact that they survived because there was hope. And I think one of the things that these kids at 17 and 364 days lose is hope. That, you know, the fear of what's going to happen to me tomorrow simply because I have a birthday.
Right.
And in most cases now, they can stay in until they're 21 in most states. There's been some a lot of legislative movement to allow that. But, you know, if you can imagine that you've spent a lifetime in a system bouncing back and forth, a lot of them sign themselves out at 18. They turn 18 and they're like, I'm better off on my own. So,
well, what typically happens to a child who ages out of foster care?
Well, that's where the story gets pretty grim. You know, 65% of girls who age out of foster care find themselves pregnant in the first year of leaving. And you know, if you've studied foster care at all, you know that it's generational and cyclical a lot of times. So what happens to these girls when they find themselves pregnant, and the ones that choose to parent often find themselves in a situation where their kids are back in care because they don't have the extended community around them to help. Nor do they have the skills because they weren't parented. 70% of boys will end up in doing some time in jail. Most of the time it's for survival crimes. Because if you're hungry,
you're going to have to find some food.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're going to have to do whatever it takes to eat. Less than 3% of youth aging out of foster care will ever have a skilled trade or a degree. So one of the things we often say to people is 97% of kids who age out of foster care without a support system around them will end up in poverty or worse.
You say on your website, this is so true, you say that the foundation of a stable life is found in belonging.
Yes.
I love that.
Well, I mean, if you think about, you know, there's the whole Maslow's hierarchy of need, you know, that, you know, that where food, shelter, and those things for primitive survival are necessary. But the very next step is belonging and relationship. You can't achieve much in life without that anchor of belonging, of where your identity is established, where your moral compass is, you know, set, where all of those things happen. Otherwise, you're kind of flailing around without without an anchor. When we train our families, we often use the analogy of tetherball.
Oh.
That these kids are the ball on the end of that mm-hmm. chain, and we, our role is to be the pole. Like, we're mm-hmm. we're steadfast. We stand there. You know, they go out in the world. They may get beaten up a little bit, but they need somewhere to come back to and wrap around mm-hmm. right. to send them back out again. And that's what belonging is. Belonging is being that anchor, that pole, the lighthouse, whatever analogy you right. want to use, that they can draw back into for safety and comfort, occasionally for, you know, a hand slap or whatever mm-hmm. you need to do, but just to get them back up, back out, and continuing life. And
so how did this become such a passion for you, Pam?
It knocked on my door.
Oh, I love it. The Lord tends to do things like that, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, I didn't wake up at 21 and say, I want to one day run a ministry that works with kids aging out of foster care. I actually didn't wake up at 35 and say that either. Mm-hmm. So we started our journey in foster care and adoption in 2007. 2006, actually, we got our paperwork was approved in 2007. We had one biological daughter, and our intent was to adopt a young kid out of foster care around the same age, and we mm-hmm. were done. Like,
right.
One and done. We had no plans for anything else. We were perfectly content in life. And then the Lord, I started working with our adoption agency, teaching some classes, getting involved in support groups, mm-hmm. and our heart just got drawn close to it. And the next thing we knew, there was a 15-year-old who her placement had disrupted, and she was going back into the foster care system. And my husband, who is the most compassionate man on the face of this planet,
and totally outnumbered at your house. Like,
totally, because all of our girls. So we should back up and say, we have 8 daughters.
Yes, but they didn't come to you as little people.
No.
He still has to live with 8 daughters, though.
He is living as big people with hormones and working mouths. So he is totally outnumbered at our house. But we just got involved, and we found out she was going back into care. My husband said, call our caseworker, tell her we'll take her. And literally 2 weeks later, we met her on our doorstep. So that happened several times, and our last 5 daughters came to us after the age of 18.
Wow.
From various circumstances. So one was an international adoption disruption. One was two were homeless. Who they had ran from abusive situations that had just never been in DFAX's view. Mm-hmm. They probably should have been in foster care. But at 18, when they could get free from the situation, they ran and ended up homeless. And one of our daughters was an aging out of foster care. One of our daughters came to us through Connections Homes after we started. So literally we kind of ran out of room mm-hmm. in our house, and God just through our pastor challenged us to see that what he was doing on our family was bigger. Mm. And that there was a purpose to it. Mm-hmm. And we began to pray. And that's where Connections Homes was born.
I know. And that's just how ministry, that's how the Lord does that, I believe, mm-hmm. with all my heart.
I agree.
We think, you know, here are things we want to do. We make these plans. I'm going to have 2 children to be nice and clean and tidy mm-hmm. and fit in a box. And the Lord calls you into messy.
He does.
And he says, I'm calling you into the uncertainty to build mm-hmm. you into my righteousness, mm-hmm. right? Yes. To clothe you into my righteousness. And in so doing that, he does an incredible work in our lives, but he also picks our target audience for us.
Mm-hmm. He totally does. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're sensitive and submitted
yes.
to the Lord in our walk with him, he's painting the picture for our purpose
yes.
years in advance.
Yeah. Yes.
By what moves our heart. Mm-hmm. And we just have to, you know, that's why I love the scripture that says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered mm-hmm. by the Lord. I mean, I said I wouldn't have at 35 said, couldn't have dreamed mm-hmm. all of this. It all happened in a 10-year span.
That's right. He leads us in paths of righteousness
right.
for his name's sake. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. and now, look, we've got this beautiful family. There's this ministry. Kids are, just last week, one of our young people that we had connected when he came into our program was actually on his paperwork. He said he worshiped Satan.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about God giving you hard things.
Yes. Yeah, really.
And I looked at this paperwork of this young man, and I knew instantly. I'm like, this is... I've got your number.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Jesus mm-hmm. has it.
Yes.
But through me, we're going to connect you to a Lord who loves you.
Yes.
And finding out a little bit more of his story, he had been in some foster care placements with Christian families, and he'd gotten really hurt.
Yeah.
So his image of God was a little distorted.
So he was running the other way.
He was like, I'm going to do as far as I can.
Right.
And but there was something about this kid's spirit mm-hmm. that was just sweet. Mm. And we connected him, and just last week he's thrown away everything connected.
Wow, praise God. Yeah. Amazing.
And he started
only
college.
Only the Lord.
Only the Lord. I mean, you just have to give glory mm-hmm. to Jesus. And that's why he does it, because he wants to expand his kingdom. I mean, yeah. ultimately, at the end of the day, we can do great things, and we can provide belonging, but the ultimate belonging is in the kingdom mm-hmm. of heaven. And I think when you connect a Jesus person to a young person who has no one,
yeah.
then you're giving them the route to Jesus.
That's mm-hmm. right.
And that is the one thing that can change all of our lives.
That's right. You also say, number you've introduced me to is 85,000 young souls, young
yes.
people, 18 to 24, live unconnected to family or any caring, stable adult.
Yeah. I mean, at any given moment, like that's a snapshot at a given time in America, there's 85,000 18 to 24-year-olds that are homeless.
Yes.
That what we would consider chronically homeless.
Right.
That they just literally have no place to lay their head,
no
maybe
safety
a day
net.
Shelter or
right.
whatever, and absolutely no safety net.
And all three of us have kids that age. So when I think about these statistics and the people that you serve, the young adults that you serve, I think about my kids that fall within that range. And how many times has one of them had a flat tire or a fender bender or trying to find their meal, figure out their meal plan for school, or where am I going to live after I have to move out of the dorm? And if they didn't have
right.
a home and us to ask the question to, or how do I deposit that money to the bank?
Right.
I'm like, baby, really? But
what is
know,
this IRS form? Yeah. Do I need to keep it?
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't have those 85,000 young adults are people in our society, mm-hmm. and how they go is how our communities go.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. we need to be investing, and the church needs to be aware of all of this so that they can be involved.
Right. And I say this often. I say it's not rocket science no. what we do. It's relationship.
Yes.
That's really what it is. I mean, and these kids crave relationship.
Yes.
You take this young man who from every outward appearance seemed hardened, and he was very scary on paper. When you met him, you knew he was a little bit of a softie.
On purpose.
Yes.
On purpose.
He right.
was scary
he was
on
very
paper.
Scary yeah. on purpose because he wanted to, he's like, if you're going to live up to the words that you've promised me, that you can connect me to somebody, you go ahead and try.
Right.
And we did. But you look at him and you look at how he has, with his mentoring family over Christmas, he was learning how to make pasta from scratch.
Mm.
And like, just every moment of it was something he was soaking in. And he said to them, you're the only people in my life that really love me.
Wow.
They met him 4 months ago.
Wow.
So they crave this relationship and this connection, and it really is as simple as just, hey, come over, let's get out the KitchenAid and let's make some pasta
yeah.
from scratch. Let me teach you a new skill. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
That's incredible. Well, through this passion and through the knock at your door, the Lord laid this vision out for you and for your husband to start this ministry called Connections Homes. So we've alluded to some of what you do, but explain to us a little bit about how that got started and what exactly you do and how people can get involved.
Right. So we work with young adults 18 to 24 mm-hmm. that are aging out of foster care or are homeless without family. So we work with referral partners. It could be DFACs. It could be a shelter. It could be just a church who says this, you know, 22-year-old came in off the street and they don't have anybody. Is there something that you can do to help them? So we take referrals, and then we do an interview process with the kids. Our young people have to choose to be a part of Connections Homes because
they are 18 to 24.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a dignity thing because
sure.
one of the things that foster care does is often strips, they have no voice or choice. If, you know,
you're going to this home
and mm-hmm. you don't have a choice about it. So we give them a voice and a choice. You can choose to have a mentoring family or not. It's totally your call. And we honor the choice that they make. So they fill out all their paperwork. We do some interviews with them. And then we recruit from within churches, we recruit mentoring families. So it's people like us mm-hmm. who say, I could be a safe, stable, lifelong, that's the key, lifelong support for a young person who has no one else in their life. Most of our kids do not move in with their families because they're in independent living programs or they're mm-hmm. in another program. We do have some. We have some who start out not living with the family, and then the family, once they're in relationship, makes the choice to move them in. That's totally their call. But it's kind of like having a kid off at college, mm-hmm. right? You're there on the other end of the phone call. You think about them on their birthday. They're at your Thanksgiving table. One of our slogans is everybody deserves a seat at a Thanksgiving table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's about just doing life alongside them. Is it a little more difficult than some of our kids? Well, mine who came after 18 off the table, but sometimes yes, because they may not know basic skills. We sent a Christmas gift to our kids, and we purposely put a self-addressed envelope in there with a note card for them to send a thank you back, teaching them basic skills of gratitude. Right. And we've had several of our kids call and ask how they're supposed to get the thank you back to us.
Mm.
You know, right. a basic skill.
Right.
They wouldn't know how to address the envelope. They couldn't even recognize a self-addressed stamped envelope and know you could take it to a mailbox. So there's those things that you're like, an 18-year-old should know mm-hmm. this, and they don't. And several of my girls, we had to teach how to load a dishwasher and how to wash mm-hmm. dishes. But so basically it's just stepping into their story. You step into their story and just become, you provide that belonging, that anchor.
And what a great opportunity for people who say, oh, we're too old to foster mm-hmm. or we're too old to adopt or, you know. What an incredible time to mm-hmm. do that because, like, I'm even thinking about my mom. She has a young man that comes to her house and he's a college student and helps her. And she's been able to share the Lord with him, get him back on track and it gives her a purpose,
right.
you know, it really does. She doesn't realize it when she's telling me the stories about him, but she loves it. Mm-hmm. And she loves seeing God be able to use her in that way just by saying, can you help me with this? Because she's learning from him. He's learning from her,
right.
you know? And so what a great opportunity though for those who have empty nests or maybe even retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of our families are empty nesters.
Oh, that's great.
A lot of them are. Because, you know, you're sitting in church and you're hearing a care for the orphaned mm-hmm. and vulnerable
right.
children message, and you're thinking,
oh, if I were younger.
I just got all my kids off payroll. I am not interested
right.
in going back to, I remember when my youngest daughter graduated high school, I felt like I was graduating high school. So I would not be interested in going back to high school.
Right.
But I can do this. Mm-hmm. I can walk alongside one of these young people and be that supportive, caring adult for them. So it's a great opportunity for those people that are hearing the message of caring for the fatherless and the orphan. They know God's called them to it, but they just don't feel like an 8 and 9-year-old
right.
is their calling. But they hear this and they're like, this is it. This is how I can be a significant part of God's mission on this earth to care for the fatherless and the orphan.
Right. I really do love that because Lynette and I are often telling people, you don't have to foster or adopt. Mm-hmm. There are so many avenues for you to engage in this area and for you to use your gifts and your talents and your time for the kingdom. And this is a perfect way for them to be able to get involved. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah.
So is there a training for your families? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you train me and get me ready to make a relationship with this young adult?
So we have an online orientation that basically just describes how the program works.
Gotcha.
We want you to know how we work and what we're expecting of you, that it's a lifetime commitment. And it's not like a lifetime no different than we are with our kids. Like, they're not financially tethered to us. We actually advise our families not to financially rescue mm-hmm. a lot. But we kind of say it this way. If Tara, if I met you today and I said, you know, it's so nice to meet you. I'm so glad we get to be friends. Today is the 9th of January. Mm-hmm. The 9th of January of 2020, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't right. do that. We don't say there's 12 months on this clock mm-hmm. of our relationship and we're done. So we don't set our mentoring families up like that either. It's your commitment is if they call you a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you're going to answer the phone
right,
and be
right.
the anchor for them. So we kind of go through an orientation that talks about that, gives them the opportunity to say, yes, I want to proceed. No, I don't want to proceed. Because a lot of people come into it thinking it's a mentorship. And in their mind, there's a time limit on that. We want them to know this is totally different. And then we have a one-day classroom training. So it's in person. And that's where we kind of dig into what does it look like to be that lighthouse in the life of a kid. And we talk a lot about emerging adulthood, just what it looks like in general across the board for kids 18 to 29 these days, because they don't look, it doesn't look like it did for us. And you say the thing that you never thought you would say when I was your age. But it looks different from when I was their age.
It does, yeah.
And I want our families to understand that. We talk a lot about building relationship. What does it look like to just be in relationship? We do talk about conflict management, and we talk about the hard issues, drugs, you know, all of the things that young adults could get involved in. How do you handle that? We don't get into a lot of trauma, grief, loss, TBRI, all of that stuff, because that comes after you're in relationship based on where that kid is.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, you just don't have
And it's not a daily thing, a daily relationship.
It's not a daily. They're not living in your house. They're not dealing with it every day. And there's no limb to hang the ornament on, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
So we really focus on the skills that they need just to get to know a young person and be a part of their story. Then there's some application process forms that the families fill out. We do a discovery profile. It's what it's called on the family and the young adult. They look very similar, because the young adult gets to make a choice. Mm. So they get presented with the family profile, and they have the opportunity to say yes or no. And if they were to see their profile, it would look just like the family. So it's a dignity thing of, we want you to see that what we're asking you to do, we're asking them to do, vice versa. Right. We do a criminal background check, sex offender check, all of those things. And then we wait and match. We joke and say we're the match.com for
I love that.
Kids aging out of foster care.
That's so funny.
But we really look for families that share kind of some intangibles. Mm-hmm. You know, what are their values around work and education? I mean, if you're a high-achieving family and you really value education, and that's something that you're able to really invest in a kid, we want to match you with a kid who has those kind of goals.
Right, yeah.
So that you're both getting the most out of a relationship. And then, you know, and then just other things like, man, I really want to golf. Well, who do we have that loves golf?
Yes.
You know, like, so we really do kind of look through, and obviously the Holy Spirit's involved and, you know, praying through these matches. And we will send a family a profile and say, hey, we've got this kid that's available. Would you be interested in being part of their life? Once we get the yes, we do the opposite, send it to the kid and get their yes, and it's off to the races.
Oh, I love that.
That's so great. Do you do ongoing training for mentor families?
We do. We're going to launch more of that. I mean, I am a trainer by nature and heart. It's what I love to do. So we're looking at this year doing some video.
That's great.
Some of the stuff that I teach outwardly, you know, bringing it in and doing some video curriculum for some of our families. But we do ongoing support. We're there. We answer the phones. You know, the kids know my cell phone number. They call me, and yeah.
That's man, so you're just making just a really strong safety net there. They have your number. They have this family. They
have the relationship managers that work with us. The first belonging that these kids have is to Connections Homes. Like, one of our cultural goals is to make sure that these kids, while they're waiting on a match, know we care.
Mm.
We know their name. We care about what's going on in their life. We're involved with them. And that they have value and purpose and hope. Back to that word we started with.
Right.
That we want them to know there's hope, and they're not just a number. They're a name and a face, and we care about them.
Yeah, one of mine came to me, one of our adopted children with no hope. Mm-hmm. And it's been hard to reiterate, you know, we're growing out of that, but just kind of gave up, you know, saw all these kids being adopted and this child wasn't, and just gave up, you know. And so
hard.
It does. It takes a long time to retrain the brain and the heart that we love you, you know.
It really does. And, you know, I say to my girls in relationships with boys, it takes 4 seasons in a relationship before you make a big decision like, I'm going to marry this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even in our adoptions, no matter the age, and on connecting our mentoring families, it takes a year of being with someone through everything. Well, first of all, it takes a year before you even have your first memory with a person. Before,
oh, that's a good point.
Before you
like
can,
last year we did this.
Last year we did this. Mm-hmm. Remember when we did this? So there's something about that being together a year that really kind of builds that belonging and hope. And it's so hard for these kids who come with having given up. You know, these kids aging out of foster care, they get to 17, 18, 19, 20, and they do lose hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like nobody's going to, it's that same exact thing. No one's ever going to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it takes a bit for before they believe it, and they test you.
Right. They, of course they
do. They test your words. Mm-hmm.
And it takes a year to see all that.
It takes a year.
It really does to get to know each other. I totally agree. We say that all the time. We used to say, give it 4 months and you'll see the true nature of a child, but it takes much longer than that.
Yeah. Right. And it takes a year for them to see our true nature,
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, Pam stressed at Christmas dinner is a whole lot different than Pam on June the 15th.
That is very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, it's really a joy to have you here, and I really want people to go to your website. So can you share that with us?
Yes, it's connections with an S, homeswithans.org.
Awesome. So we really want you guys to go look at the website. We also want to encourage you, and we'll have this in our show notes, that Pam is also an author. She's written 3 books, and I own 2 of the 3 of them and have given them away multiple times. One is called Ready or Not, a 30-day discovery for families going through foster care and adoption. The second one is for Battle Weary Parents, which I've given that away a lot too. And finally, the last one is called The Gift, Unwrapping God's Design for Foster Care and Adoption. So that's based on James chapter 1. Mm-hmm. So Pam is a wealth of knowledge. She also has a personal website, pamparish.com, that we'll have in the show notes. But we're really excited to see how the Lord's going to raise up even more mentor homes for kids that are aging out of foster care and are homeless. So thank you so much for being with us today.
And when I think of you, I think of this scripture hit me about 6 months ago, but Paul was telling Titus, when he was ending his letter to Titus, he told him, he said, make sure that your people know, okay? Make sure that your people know to devote themselves to good works, and especially make sure they're ready to help cases of urgent need.
Mm, yeah, I love
that. That's you guys. Isn't that great?
That's so great.
I didn't come up with it. It's Paul.
Paul wrote it, but you quoted it, and it's just as good.
Well, and that's your ministry, and you are meeting urgent needs, and we thank you, and thanks for your time today.
Well, thank you so much. It's been my honor.
You have been listening to The Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.